The reading that follows is an entire chapter in Volume 2 of Arise, Shine, Be Encouraged. Each devotional is followed by the next one. This sound marks that change. You can download this chapter as a whole unit and listen as you exercise or walk or drive. Do you admonish, counsel, and instruct? Help others grow in their faith. In Romans chapter 15, verse 14, we read, "Personally, I am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are rich in goodness, amply filled with all spiritual knowledge, and competent to admonish and counsel and instruct one another also." Okay, the life of a mature Christian includes some basic responsibilities. Paul addresses them and says, you must be, one, rich in goodness and amply filled with spiritual knowledge, and two, competent in your ability to admonish, counsel, and instruct others in the ways of righteousness. Looking around at the body of Christ, it seems there are few Christians who are carrying out these duties. It is mostly due to lack of knowledge of God's Word, lack of skill and ability, lack of character. Why is that? One reason is because many churches fail to adequately teach God's Word, resulting in many Christians who are biblically illiterate. They spend time reading the newspaper, but fail to pick up God's Word to study and meditate. To become a mature Christian, you must have an intimate relationship with Jesus Christ, know the voice of the Holy Spirit, be obedient to His voice, and walk in love. You must refuse to let offense take you out of relationship with others, especially other Christians. You must accept the assignment to admonish, counsel, and instruct others, and learn to speak the truth in love at all times. Recognize that God will use you to build others up and encourage them. God uses me to speak the truth into the lives of others, both in my work and my personal life. He has called me to a higher standard of boldness in all I do and say. While I don't always trust my ability to do it well, I do trust the Holy Spirit to speak through me and use me. Child of God, are you watching a brother or sister in Christ struggle, stumble, and fall? Even worse, are you judging them, yet taking no action to help them? If so, I urge you to pray for them and ask God what He wants you to do. Let God use you as an instrument for His purpose and glory to admonish, counsel, and instruct. Father, thank you for giving me a hunger and thirst for your word and for righteousness, that I may be a source of light and truth. Holy Spirit, I commit to respond to your call and to act in boldness as your chosen instrument to assist others in their walk with you. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Love is greater. Love is all you need. From Scripture, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8, we read, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs, love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. All right, when we read Paul's treatise on love, it is helpful to recall the words of John when he said, God is love. Here, Paul explains in simple language what love is and what it is not. Verse 13 says, but now faith, hope, love abide these three, but the greatest of these is love. Without faith, we are alone in this world, and will live in fear, doubt, and unbelief. Without hope, we are prone to give up, cave in, and quit on ourselves and others. Without love, we will be consumed with selfishness and be incapable of living in harmony, peace, and joy. In fear, hurt, and anger, we will attempt to control and manipulate others. Yet, over time, when we follow Jesus' instructions to love God and man, we will be transformed and become more Christ-like. Walking in His love positions us to receive God's grace, blessings, and favor. Walking in His love helps us become eager and willing to help and serve others. Walking in His love transforms not only our lives, but the lives of others around us. Child of God, have you checked the condition of your heart lately? Is it filled with love? If not, I encourage you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Remember, God is love. His love is stronger and greater than all your problems and challenges. His love is all you need. Father, thank you for loving me enough to send Jesus to die on the cross. Holy Spirit, teach me how to love like Jesus and to be loving to others in all I do and say. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Peace in times of turmoil. Hang on to your peace. First, a reading from Scriptures, from John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed, and do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated, and cowardly and unsettled. Okay, why is it that so many people run around today acting like Chicken Little, in a state of panic, with their arms up in the air, crying out, "The sky is falling! The sky is falling!" The internet, radio, TV, social media, and newspapers broadcast endless messages in bold headlines announcing doom and destruction. TV talk shows are filled with experts who tell us how bad it is, and that we can only expect it to get worse. On every front, we are bombarded with endless bad news. In this verse, we find Jesus speaking to his disciples just before the crucifixion. He tells them that when he leaves, the Holy Spirit will come to them and will serve as their comforter, counselor, helper, advisor, advocate, strengthener, guide, and teacher. Jesus gives them a very precious gift, his answer to stay strong and succeeding in difficult times. Jesus gives his disciples the gift of peace. Some translations use the Hebrew word shalom for peace, prosperity, and wholeness. Jesus gave us peace that transcends your circumstances, defies understanding, cannot be taken away from you, calms a troubled heart, conquers worry, doubt, and fear, refuses to be swayed by our emotions, is not easily intimidated, is brave and courageous, refuses to flinch or waver, enables us to stare death in the face, knowing that in the end, victory is ours, comes with prosperity and wholeness in every area of our life, and was given freely to all men by the Prince of Peace. Child of God, I encourage you to celebrate and wrap yourself in the priceless robe of peace that was bought with a price, the blood of Jesus. Live in his peace today. Father, I thank you for leading me to a place of green pastures and still waters. Thank you for restoring my soul. Holy Spirit, help me remember who I am in Christ, and that with Jesus I can have perfect peace in the midst of every storm. Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Peace with God, the price of peace. In Scripture, Romans 5, verse 1, we read, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, the older I get, the more I value my peace and have come to realize that peace always comes at a price. I have decided that I will not sacrifice or pay my peace for somebody else's drama. As a nation founded on the belief that we have a right to be free and live peacefully, we must always remember that countless men and women chose to pay the ultimate price to ensure our freedom, our peace, and our way of life. As children, we pay the price of innocence to grow up and find our way in the world. As students, we pay the price of humility and ignorance to acquire knowledge and understanding. As young adults, we pay the price of loss and separation from family and friends as we go off and find our own way. As husbands and wives, we pay the price of personal sacrifice and compromise to ensure our marriage endures and prospers. As parents, we pay the price of hard work and perseverance to give our children a better life than the one we had. As employees, we pay the price of loyalty and discipline to pursue a vision bigger than ourselves. As team members, we pay the price of collaboration and endure conflict for the success and welfare of the team. As managers, we pay the price of achievement as we help others strive for excellence. As servant leaders, we pay the price of selfless love and compassion to serve and lead others. As Christians, we pay the price of faith and belief in Jesus Christ to escape a life of sin and death and achieve eternal salvation. Child of God, are you willing to pay the price of humility, surrender, and obedience to be all that God has called you to be? I encourage you to ask God today for perfect peace in your life. Remember that peace always comes with a price, death of self, fear, and doubt. Trust and rely on God minute by minute, day by day, and walk in His peace. It is worth the price. Lord, thank you for perfect peace. Jesus, keep me in your perfect peace at all times. Give me a soft and humble heart and a desire for peace that only comes from you and your grace. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Get some rest. Jesus knew when and how to rest. First, a quotation from Scripture, Mark 6, verse 31. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." Okay, looking at the behavior of Jesus in the Gospels, we see that he was never too busy or in a hurry to stop, teach, heal, and care for people in need. Everywhere he went, the crowds surrounded him. They listened and pressed in to touch him. They reached for his healing hands in hopes of being freed from sickness and disease, brokenness and oppression, demonic spirits, and spiritual torment. Jesus was constantly at work doing his Father's business, teaching the disciples, preaching the gospel, and performing great miracles, all for the glory of God. Jesus never said no. He never refused to pour out his love and compassion on others. And yet, Jesus also took time and knew how to rest. As a caring Christian who strives to make this world a better place every day, I confess that I often struggle to find the energy to keep going. I'm comforted when I read this verse. Jesus showed us how to keep going by taking time to rest. He often stopped to be alone with God in prayer. He returned to his source for a fresh supply of divine love and compassion, wisdom and truth, purpose and direction, power and strength. He found rest, restoration, and comfort in God. In God, Jesus found renewal, confidence, and the resolve to finish his work, even to the cross. He found an endless supply of grace, love, and mercy. He found the strength to keep going no matter what. Child of God, are you tired, weary, and in need of renewed energy and strength? If so, I suggest you stop and rest in God. Cry out to Him in prayer. Forget Ever Ready. Plug in to God today. He is the only energizer you will ever need. Father, thank you for your never-ending supply of love, mercy, grace, strength, and power. Holy Spirit, help me to remember to stop often and find rest in Jesus' loving arms when I feel tired or weary or on the verge of giving up. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Peace and a furnace of blazing fire. Can you withstand the heat? First, let us read the scripture, Daniel 3, verses 16 through 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. If it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the furnace of the blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Now, my grandparents were very poor. They were simple people who farmed and lived off the land with periods of employment. My earliest childhood memory of them includes a large wood-burning stove on a dirt floor in a small one-room cabin. Later, gas space heaters replaced the stove in their new house that my father and uncles built. My father preserved childhood memories by installing a modern energy-efficient wood-burning stove in his house many years later, and used it until his death. I have vivid memories of standing next to the stove and gas heaters, gazing into the flames. I was determined to see how close I could stand there until the heat forced me to back up. I confess that my affinity for dancing fires in campsites and log cabins continues to this day. Reading this passage, I am reminded of the times I stood next to the fire and felt peace and joy in my heart. Even now, whenever conflict burns like a fire in my life, and the flames threaten to consume me, I am reminded of my childhood peace and joy. I give God praise that I know that the world's fires will not touch me or cause me harm. I know God and His grace will always deliver me unscathed. Child of God, how about you? Can you withstand the fiery heat in your life? Like Daniel and his friends, will you emerge untouched? In the midst of raging fires, will you have peace and joy in your heart? I encourage you to walk in faith and, like Daniel, trust God. Know that He is able to deliver you from every fire. Lord, thank you for the peace that comes from trusting you. Holy Spirit, help me learn to fix my eyes, mind, and heart on you, even when the world around me is on fire. Teach me to withstand the heat, knowing that you will deliver me safe and unharmed. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Brothers, learning to listen. First, to read Isaiah, chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured by the sword. Truly, the mouth of the Lord has spoken. As the firstborn son, with younger brothers and sisters, I watched my siblings grow and develop in the shadow of their big brother. I watched as my two brothers entered the turbulent teen years. Like many teens, they challenged every authority figure in their path. Rebellion led the oldest one to the Texas prison system and the youngest to the local U.S. Marine Corps recruiting office. One was stripped of his freedom and spent years locked away. The younger one ran away from family, entered the military, and spent time overseas. Life in prison and life in the military share some common ground. Both impose order and use rigidly defined systems and rules to break the spirit of the rebellion and disobedience and to get people to follow the rules. Life in prison and the military prove to be a good training ground for life in the world. My brothers are older and wiser now. The older one came out of prison with the strong resolve and a commitment to never use drugs or do anything that would put him back behind bars. He married, started a family, built a painting business, and surrendered his life to Christ. Now his faith and relationship with Jesus Christ is the driving force in his life. The younger one served honorably with distinction in the Marine Corps Honor Guard. We have pictures of him standing at attention before presidents of nations. He now lives on a family farm with his wife and family and works hard to support them. As the big brother, occasionally I still give advice and counsel. More often, I simply listen. Daily, I pray for them and ask God to bless them and protect them. I praise God that they have decided to listen and have given up their rebellious ways. Father, thank you for brothers in the flesh and in the spirit. Holy Spirit, teach me to be a good brother, to always offer unconditional love and support, and to serve as a role model for faithfulness and obedience. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Shake off the dust and move on. What do you need to leave behind? First, a reading from Acts 13, verses 50 and 51. But the Jews incited the God-fearing women of high standing and the leading men of the city. They stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and expelled them from their region. So they shook the dust from their feet in protest against them and went to Iconium. Now, I remember the call vividly. The voice belonged to a man I met several days before at a men's ministry event. He went on to say that he heard I would be speaking at their upcoming meeting. I said yes and told him that my talk was entitled The Power of Words. I could tell he was very nervous. Finally, he came out and said that he had spoken to the director of the speaker committee. He went on to say that he had researched my church, World Changers Church International, World Changers Church Houston, and my pastor, Dr. Griflo Dollar. He was calling to tell me Pastor Dollar's teachings are contrary to the views of his pastor, and were not sound doctrine. Further, he stated that he saw me as an instrument of spiritual warfare, and that I was now officially released from my obligation to speak. He continued to tell me what he felt was wrong with Pastor Dollar's teaching and my intended message. He justified his conclusions based on a brief comparison of my outline and remarks on a Christian website he used to determine the accuracy and appropriateness of various doctrines and teachings. I confess I was stunned. I've been a speaker for many years and heard varied reactions after my talks, but I had never encountered this before. At first I was offended, then I silently prayed and asked the Lord to speak to me about the situation. His message was clear: "Son, close this door, shake the dust off and move on. I will lead you to rooms that are overflowing with people who are open and willing and eager to hear the message I have given you." Child of God, are you encountering resistance and rejection in your life as you try to share God's word and the good news of Jesus Christ? If so, I encourage you to ask God if it is time for you to shake the dust off and move on. Father, thank you for both opening and closing doors. Holy Spirit, teach me to accept rejection and persecution in your name with an open heart. Give me the grace to be strong and persevere as I pursue your perfect will for my life. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Go and preach the gospel. Many ways to share Jesus, some with words. We begin with a quotation from Mark chapter 16, verse 15. "And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation." The more I grow in my faith walk, the more this verse resonates in my mind, heart, and spirit. It serves as the motivation for my life now and the talks I give, my coaching sessions, the books, the blogs, and devotionals I write. I'm often approached by strangers who ask, "Are you a pastor?" Initially, I couldn't understand what was going on and why people kept asking me that. Over time, I've come to understand and accept the truth of this verse. It compels me and drives me. Now, I usually greet my audience, regardless of the setting, with these words: "Welcome to church. I'm delighted to be here and to have this opportunity to share God's word with you and talk about living life and doing business God's way." In this verse, the call to action to every Christian is clear. We are to share the gospel of Christ to the world, the lost, sick, needy, captive, and the brokenhearted. Whenever we share God's word, confess our testimony, and witness to a stranger, we pray for others in the face of a crisis, we proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, we feed the hungry and give shelter to the homeless, spend time with someone who is gripped with despair, we hold a bedside vigil and share love and compassion with the sick, we encourage the fearful, give counsel to a friend based on God's word, and teach and model righteousness. We are sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I praise God that I have come to realize that preaching is more about what I do with my gifts, talents, time, and money than what I call myself. Child of God, I encourage you to ask God how to share the gospel in your world today, regardless of what you do for a living or what the world calls you. Share the good news about Jesus. Yes, go and preach the gospel in all you do, and occasionally use words. Father, thank you for your son's example. Holy Spirit, help me look for ways to share the good news about Jesus. Give me boldness and confidence to speak the truth of your word every day to all who will listen. Help me to be a beacon of light in a dark and lost world. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Give no thought to your own interests. Replace every I with we. First, we read Romans 15, verse 3. "For Christ did not please himself," gave no thought to his own interests. "But as it is written, the reproaches and abuses of those who reproached and abused you fell on me." Paul tells us, Jesus gave no thought to his own interests, but kept his focus on God's will and his divine purpose. Reading this verse, I confess that I am stunned by the selfless nature of Jesus. This verse mirrors what Jesus said about himself, that he did exactly what he was told to do and say by God. For Jesus, I always meant we, Heavenly Father and Son. Webster's defines the word interest as feeling of a person whose attention, concern, or curiosity is particularly engaged by something. Jesus never let personal interests, concerns, or feelings get in the way and deter him. Jesus focused on one thing and one thing only, God's will. For most of us, it is difficult to focus on one thought or idea for an extended period of time. Our mind wanders, gets distracted, bored, makes up and creates things to think about. Reading this verse, I'm reminded of the first commandment Jesus gave us. He said that we are to love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In other words, we are to copy or imitate Jesus and have no thoughts, feelings, speech, or behavior that is apart from or did not come from God. I confess that this has been a hard lesson for me to learn. Karen and I have committed to listen closely to our conversation and sound the alarm any time we use the word I several times in a sentence. The Holy Spirit alerts me whenever my interests, plans, desires, or concerns begin to surface. I suddenly realize that it's time to repent and refocus on God and Him alone. Child of God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to speak to you about the me man, the I in your life. Make a sacrifice on the altar of faith by giving up every thought or interest and desire to please your selfish nature. Imitate Jesus and replace every I with we. Father, thank you for the selflessness of your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, teach me faithfulness and willingness to sacrifice every thought, word, and action to God for His glory. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Is the truth your native language? Know who you're talking to. First, a quotation from Scripture, from John chapter 8, verses 42 through 44. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but He sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and a father of lies." All right, miscommunication often results from differences in spoken or written language. Experts suggest there were 7,106 living languages used across the world in 2018. Add cultural norms and differences on top of language, and it is little wonder why it is so difficult to communicate clearly with others. Often when we experience difficulty communicating and interacting with others, we say, "I couldn't understand a word they said. I don't speak their language, and they sure don't speak mine." Communication challenges have existed for centuries. Here we see Jesus experiencing this very problem. He identified this as the core issue underlying the Pharisees' inability to hear and understand his message. Jesus explained that they were each speaking their own native language. Jesus' native language was and is always God's word, the living truth. The native language of all unbelievers is Satan's lies. Jesus went further and called the Pharisees the children of the devil. He referred to Satan as a murderer, the father of all lies, and declared, "There is no truth in him." With this fundamental distinction in our makeup, it is impossible to communicate with someone who has no inherent grasp or understanding of the truth. Sadly, miscommunication, arguments, and tension are inevitable. Child of God, when you find yourself in situations similar to the one in this passage, don't be deterred or frustrated. I encourage you to simply copy Jesus' behavior. Don't be afraid to speak the truth in love, confidence, and boldness. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you by revealing the other person's native language. Is their language godly truth or Satan's lies? It is always helpful to know who you're talking to. Father, thank you for giving me your unchanging and eternal word. Your word is truth and light in a dark world and always reveals the lies of Satan. Holy Spirit, teach me to speak the truth in love, in confidence and boldness at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Striving to please. Play to an audience of one. In Scripture, we read from 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, "On the contrary, we speak as men approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel. We are not trying to please men, but God, who tests our hearts. For 20 years, God has blessed me with the opportunity to coach, mentor, and disciple many corporate executives and business owners. In a recent call, I encouraged my client to share her powerful testimony of her miraculous healing. As a newborn Christian, she was very uncomfortable with the idea and afraid of what people would think of her. She was afraid of being rejected and labeled a crackpot. Her comments reminded me of a former client who shared a similar fear. Any public act of faith made him extremely uncomfortable and embarrassed. In one call, he openly shared his embarrassment about a mutual friend's habit of praying for waiters in restaurants as they served the meal. As we talked, he shared that at one time, he too was bold in his faith, but had been attacked and ridiculed by friends and peers. As a result, he decided to temper his speech and his actions to make them more socially acceptable. As we closed the call, he said, 'I wish I was more like you, confident, bold, courageous, unafraid of what people think of me.' We prayed that God would restore his confidence and boldness and give him the courage to be a bright light in a dark world. I praise God that over the last 7 years, God answered our prayer. Recently, my friend shared several testimonies. Once again, he is on fire for Christ. Child of God, have you toned down your faith? Are you walking in fear of rejection and worried about what people will say or think about you? If so, I encourage you to ask the Holy Spirit to give you grace and boldness to walk in faith and to count it all joy whenever the world makes fun of you. Decide today to be zealous, a fanatic who is in love with Jesus. Pursue Jesus and strive to please Him and only Him. Lord, thank you for granting me courage and boldness to share your message of grace. Holy Spirit, strengthen my heart and help me to never be ashamed of you or worry what others will think or say of me. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen." Bless, not curse. Imitate Jesus and speak blessings. First, a quotation from Scripture. Romans 12, verse 14, "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse." God's word often contradicts what we desire and are tempted to do in our flesh when we are attacked or offended. We get hurt. Our guard goes up and we want to go on the attack, retaliate in anger or worse, self-righteous indignation. I confess that I have struggled with this over the years. Even this morning, I felt betrayed and abandoned by a close friend in time of need. My worldly man desired to strike back and express my hurt and anger. I had to immediately check myself and remember Jesus. My mind posed the question, what would Jesus do? Suddenly, I saw the image of Christ on the cross crying out, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And when most men would have cried out in anger and spoken a curse over those responsible for their pain and suffering, Jesus prayed for his tormentors. He asked for forgiveness on their behalf, not eternal damnation and torment, but loving and compassionate forgiveness. I was convicted by this image and humbled by Jesus' grace and mercy. As a man of God, I'm drawn to Jesus' strength of character, his depth of unconditional love and compassion, patient acceptance of others, willing forgiveness and resolve to obey God's will at all times. As I reflected on my friend's actions, I had to repent of my selfish thoughts and confessed the blood of Jesus over my situation. I prayed for my friend. I forced myself to take Paul's advice and copy Jesus. I spoke blessings over his life. As soon as I did this, I felt a huge weight lift from my heart. I heard a quiet voice say, "Well done, son. Now you're learning to walk like me." In that moment, I knew Jesus was truly alive in me and that it was him speaking the words of forgiveness. His grace and mercy spoke through me and for me in that moment. Child of God, I pray that the next time you are offended, hurt, or angry, and want to get even, that you remember Jesus and take Paul's advice, bless and do not curse. Father, thank you for your love and compassion, which is hard to even comprehend at times. Jesus, your grace and mercy serve to remind me and encourage me that love bears, hopes, endures all things, and never fails. Holy Spirit, help me endure every insult and attack and speak blessings, not curses. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. Is your dimmer switch reducing your light? An attitude of gratitude. First, hear this passage from Philippians 2, verses 14 and 15. Do everything without complaining or arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God without fault in a crooked and depraved generation, in which you shine like stars in the universe. In this passage, Paul urges us to resist complaining and arguing, so that we may become blameless and pure without fault. Complaining is offensive to God. While God often tolerates bad behavior, he always looks at our heart and our motives. He is pleased whenever we come to him with reverence, honor, worship, thankfulness, and praise. Ungrateful hearts murmur, complain, and eventually breed gossip, envy, jealousy, lust, greed, and other sinful behavior. Paul goes on to say that we are to shine like stars. As a visual thinker, my mind imagines a bright star in the heavens, or a bright light in a room. It shines brightly with a pure and intense light. Now, imagine that you put a dimmer switch on the light. A dimmer switch is designed to serve a practical purpose. It reduces the level of illumination. Turn the dimmer down, and as the light dims or decreases, darkness increases. As Christians, we must realize we carry a built-in dimmer switch. God has told us to love him with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to walk in love with our fellow men. Whenever we step out of love with God or man, murmur, complain, argue, or take offense, the light of Christ within us automatically dims. Our attitude has a direct effect on the brightness of our light. An attitude of thankfulness, gratitude, love, and compassion turns the dimmer switch off. Once again, our light is pure and bright. A heart that is filled with selfishness, envy, jealousy, bitterness, discontent, sadness, and despair turns on our dimmer switch. It reduces our light, and we begin to fade and blend into darkness. Child of God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to speak to you about your dimmer switch. Turn your dimmer switch off by walking in love, joy, and peace with a pure and clean heart. Watch as your light shines brightly like a star that illuminates the heavens. Father, thank you for the penetrating power and light of your word. Holy Spirit, teach me to be like Jesus in all I do and say. Seal my lips to complaining and give me an attitude of gratitude with a clean and pure heart, that my light may shine brightly at all times. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Robust faith. Can you carry the load for others? First, a quotation from Scripture from Romans, chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. We, who are strong in our convictions and of robust faith, ought to bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We ought to help carry the doubts and qualms of others, and not to please ourselves. Let each one of us make it a practice to please, make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him, and build him up spiritually. Reading this verse, I'm drawn to the words robust faith. Webster's defines robust as powerful, strong, healthy, hardy, and vigorous. Paul urges us to be strong, to carry the weaknesses, failings, doubts, and qualms of others. Sadly, it seems Christians have learned to be polite, reserved, and politically correct. Even worse, we are often timid, weak, and fail to walk in robust faith. And yet, Paul encourages us to be powerful, strong, and willing to carry others' baggage, or weakness, failings, and doubts. He implores us to make a habit of helping others, of strengthening them, and building them up. I've prayed and asked the Lord to give me robust faith, coupled with a servant leader's heart that is willing to put others first and sacrifice myself for their needs. I asked God to change my thinking from one, what about me, to I will put your needs first, to what can you do for me, to I want to serve and minister to you, three, why did you hurt me, to I forgive you and will help you overcome your hurts, fears, anger, and resentment, four, why are you feeling so depressed and hopeless, to I am here to give you hope, confidence, and encouragement to go on. I asked God to teach me to live and operate in His circle of love. In God's circle of love, there is no fear, hurt, offense, or selfishness. No me. In God's circle of love, I have robust faith. I am strong, and nothing is impossible for me. Child of God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to draw you into His circle of love and give you robust faith. Be strong for those around you. Give them hope and build them up. Father, thank you for the strength and power of your word. Holy Spirit, teach me to have robust faith that I may be strong enough to carry the load for others. Help me encourage them and give them hope and build them up. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Seize the opportunity. In the moment, be a sign in a dark world. First, hear this quotation from Colossians 4, verse 5. Behave yourselves wisely, living prudently and with discretion in your relations with those of the outside world, the non-Christians, making the very most of the time and seizing or buying up the opportunity. Now, I'm drawn to the last phrase of this verse. At the beginning, Paul says we should behave wisely with non-Christians and follow this directive, making the very most of the time and seizing or buying up the opportunity. Webster's defines seize as to take hold of suddenly or forcibly, grasp to take possession of by force or at will. As a Christian, are you making the most of every moment? Are you seizing moments of opportunity when you interact with non-Christians? As children of light, we are urged to be a source of light in a dark and lost world. Are you grasping the opportunity to shine your light into the darkness of an unbeliever's life? I often say that as a group, Christians are known for the symbols that we use, cross, fish, dove, lion, to identify ourselves. We wear bracelets, necklaces, pins with a cross to assert our faith. We even put bumper stickers on our cars. It appears to me that we're often more focused on wearing symbols or carrying signs than we are with being a sign. Paul tells us to be a sign. Our lives should serve as a model for, one, walking in love with others, two, sacrificing self-interests and serving others, three, quickly and willingly expressing forgiveness and acceptance in the face of attack and betrayal, four, walking in humility and integrity at all times, and five, expressing joy, contentment, and peace, regardless of our circumstances. Whenever we behave badly and imitate the world, we turn out the lights in our lives and join the darkness. Child of God, I encourage you to pray and ask God to speak to you about any area of your life where you are wearing symbols or carrying signs instead of being a sign. Quickly repent for the times you have fallen. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you seize the moments of opportunity in your life. Be a sign of love, compassion, and light in a dark world. Father, thank you for the truth and power of your word. Jesus, you are the light and the way. Holy Spirit, help me seize every moment and be Christ-like in all I do and say. Shape and mold me that I may be a sign of love and compassion to a hurting world. through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus I pray. Amen. You are a letter from Christ, written by the Spirit on your heart. Let's focus on this quotation from 2 Corinthians 3, verse 3. You show that you are a letter from Christ, the result of our ministry, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. Okay, Paul says that we are not written with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Imagine Jesus Christ reaching out from his throne and using his finger to write a letter on the hearts of all the saints. My spiritual eyes can see the letter. I am astonished and in awe as I read his words. To Gary, my beloved son, you are a mighty man of valor, firstborn son and priest of the Solomon house. Yes, you ran away and spent many years in the world, but like all the prodigal sons before you, you came to your senses and came home. I am personally inviting you to join me and all the saints in a joyous celebration to commemorate your return. As the living word, I've bathed you in my blood. As a result, you are fully reconciled, redeemed, restored, healed, and delivered from all sin, destruction, and death. I've laid out a choice robe for you, and a gold ring that bears my seal, the Dove of Peace. I've blessed you with a new heart and a renewed mind. I gave you a deep hunger and thirst for my word and my ways. As a spiritual son of Abraham, you're an heir to every promise I made in my word. I have enabled you to receive my word so that you can live by faith and not by sight. I've even promised you abundance in every area of your life. Because of my blood, there is nothing broken, missing, or needed in your life. I've blessed you with my anointing that you might be a blessing to others. I've anointed and called you to walk in humility, love, compassion, self-sacrifice, and service to others. Lastly, I have given you my perfect peace and even promised that I will never leave you or forsake you. We will talk again soon. Peace and blessings to you and yours. I love you. Faithfully yours, Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, Prince of Peace and co-heir. Father, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me to be Christ-like in all I do and say. May the words written on my heart transform me and be evident to the world. Through the blood of Jesus and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Live by faith in the moment, one day, one step at a time. First in Scripture from Romans 1, verse 17, For in the gospel a righteousness which God ascribes is revealed, both springing from faith and leading to faith, disclosed to the way of faith that arouses more faith. As it is written, The man who through faith is just and upright shall live and shall live by faith. Now in this passage, Paul tells us to live a life of righteousness from faith to faith. In the moment, I am to walk out my faith, forgetting the trials, tests, temptations, victories, and breakthroughs of yesterday. I must live by faith this minute, this hour, this day. I can only do this by walking in the Spirit and allowing God's power to operate through me. I realize that I must learn to be Spirit-led and directed, not driven. I confess that living by faith in the moment was a hard lesson for me. For decades, I was a man of action. I had a plan and worked my plan. I was driven by my own emotions, desires, dreams, goals, and objectives. I learned this mindset and behavior from my mentors, who were intensely driven, accomplishment-oriented men. I praise God that the me man has died and that I no longer live a driven life. By God's grace over the last decade, I've learned to look at Jesus and, in faith, follow him minute by minute, hour by hour, day by day. I've learned that this moment is all I have, and that is enough. Child of God, are you looking at Jesus? Are your actions an imitation of Jesus? Forgetting what is behind, do you press on in the moment and run the race for the prize? In the battlefield of the mind, which side are you on? In the moment, what choice do you make? Will you choose God's kingdom over the world, love over selfishness, faith over fear, blessings over curses, love and compassion over hatred, what is right over what is easy, serving others over being served. In the moment, I urge you to pray and ask God to help you. Listen to the Holy Spirit, trust and obey God's word, and live by faith moment by moment. Father, thank you for calling me into a relationship with your Son, Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit, help me grow in my faith and to walk it out moment by moment. Give me the grace and courage to always choose God's way over the world. Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. The goal of our instruction, mind, heart, and action. First, a quotation from Scripture from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. But the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Okay, as a speaker, I know how important it is to identify your goals before you ever step in front of a crowd. A simple way to do this is to answer this question. What do you want people to think, thoughts, the mind, feel, their heart, and do, action and body, after your presentation? By addressing all three realms, mind, heart, and body, as a change agent, you make it easier for your audience to learn, grow, and change. Jesus' disciples were revolutionary change agents with specific goals in mind. Beyond eternal salvation, Paul tells us, they longed to see every believer change and demonstrate, one, love from a pure heart, two, a good conscience, and three, sincere faith. The disciples were anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit and obedient to Jesus' instructions. They poured out their lives so sinners might believe and accept Christ as Lord and Savior and walk in faith or action and body. They focused on the believer's need to renew the mind and obey Jesus' commandment to walk in love with God and man, thoughts and mind. They taught that the Holy Spirit brought peace, joy, contentment, patience, and freedom from guilt and condemnation or heart. By addressing the needs of the whole man, thoughts, feelings, and actions, the gospel is alive 2,000 years after Jesus died on the cross. The gospel of grace is still saving souls and changing lives. Have you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior and allowed the gospel to change the way you think and feel and act? God sent Jesus to die for our sins, to redeem us and restore us to Him. Jesus, His disciples, and the Holy Spirit did their part by introducing God's divine plan for mankind. Salvation and heaven on earth wait for all who will by faith simply believe. I encourage you to decide today to do your part. Believe and accept Jesus as Lord. Allow the living Word, God's grace, and the Holy Spirit to change you. Then you can become a change agent and share what you've learned with others. Lives depend on it, and eternity is waiting. Father, thank you for the life-changing power of your living Word. Holy Spirit, teach me each day to renew my mind, walk in love at all times, be at peace, and boldly share your word and my testimony with others. Through the blood of Jesus, and in the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.